0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Martin O'Neill says he's keen to bring Kelechi Iheanacho and Marcelo Cerracci back to Celtic. Rangers are linked with another couple of central midfielders and Motherwell goalkeeper Callum Ward moves to QPR. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is John Spencer, and it may be a slight change of pace for you because over the last few weeks when you've been in, John, it's been all Scotland, it's been all World Cup, it's been pretty much the main focus, but I think attentions are now turning to the start of the season, transfers, a lot of chat about Celtic and Rangers, what they're going to do next. Can Hearts be challengers again this season? So a lot of intrigue in the domestic football again.
Yeah, definitely. And it's nice, as you say, Scotland went out early doors and now we're swinging back to the league campaign, which is going to be interesting. There'll be some moves, I would imagine, coming now that a lot of the teams are out of the World Cup. I would imagine there'll be some fresh faces coming in at the Old Firm.
And the domestic stuff will take over naturally, but people will want to look back at the World Cup and look ahead because, of course, Steve Clarke is gone. There has been a bit of chat about who could be the next Scotland manager. I think that's going to be a really interesting one over the next few weeks because there have been a few names mentioned. I think Rafa Benitez was asked about it yesterday and refused to rule himself out. I saw a bit of chat about Roberto Martin is today, some people wanting a Scottish manager, so it'll be interesting to see what the SFA do, what kind of route they go down.
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously Clarkie's been in the job for a number of years. I can't remember the last foreign manager, was it Bertie Volks maybe?
Yeah.
So we've kind of went, you know, the Scottish route. So it'll be very, very interesting to see if the SFA, you know, take a change of direction, change of philosophy. Probably two big names that's been mentioned today. It's a great job to get. Good squad of players. So it'll be interesting to see what route they take.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Whatever is on your mind, you can come on air, make your point to John Spencer. Martin O'Neill, keen on bringing back Kelechi Iheanacho and Marcelo Cerracci. Are you pleased at that, Celtic fans? Is the timing something that's maybe slightly confusing? Because, of course, there was that deal, that clause in Kelechi Iheanacho's contract that he could have extended it right at the end of the season. That was allowed to expire, but Martin O'Neill saying after that friendly win against, or that friendly draw, I should say, against Shelburne, that he could be coming back in the door, or certainly Celtic are trying to. What about Marcelo Cerracci? Do you want to see him back at Celtic after what he did last season? Rangers fans, I'm seeing a lot of links with central midfielders. Is that a key area now for Dennett McInnes to focus on? Are there other areas that you think are maybe better for that? And Motherwell fans, interested to hear from you because goalkeeper Callum Ward, he made it into the PFA Team of the Year last season, has moved to QPR for a fee reported to be around £800,000. That was one that kind of came out of nowhere today, John. He's been very impressive over the last season, one of the real benefactors from Jens Bertolasco coming in and, you know, implementing his style on Motherwell, but maybe they just felt that that fee was too much to turn down.
Well, I think, as you well know, in the modern game, especially at the smaller clubs, every player has a certain, you know, ceiling of, you know, transfer fee, etc. Ward's been brilliant last year. I think the style that Jens implemented at Motherwell really, really suited him. I still say that, you know, him and Scott Bennett-Falk for me are the two best goalkeepers with the ball at the feet in the league. So he'll be a massive loss for Motherwell, no doubt.
Right, as I say, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's start with that Celtic news, shall we? Because there were quotes from Martin O'Neill talking about their transfer business. It was the first time he'd really spoken to the media. I think he'd done a couple of in-house club interviews, but this was the first time that he'd been asked by the media about what he is going to do in this transfer window, what he's wanting to do in this transfer window. Two of the players that naturally came up were Kelechi Iheanacho, because with the way his season went, I think there were a lot of Celtic fans that thought it was maybe natural that he was going to come back, and Marcelo Cerracci as well, a loan deal, would that be made permanent? Are you surprised, or does it seem logical that those are two players that Martin O'Neill wants to work with again?
Not surprised. The boy Cerracci, I think's, you know, get wonderful athleticism to get up and down the pitch. I think if you want, you know, get the ball wide and get your fullbacks up the pitch, which Celtic do, they possess the ball. I think, but he was another one, came off the bench last year. When he did come in, he made a good impact, same as Iheanacho. We spoke off air and asked you the question, Andrew, that, you know, he never started a lot of games, certainly made an impact when he come off. But it's been a strange deal because it's surprising that they haven't got that tied up We especially in being out, already been at the club and then out of contract, you thought they would have got the deal tied up earlier if they were convinced about bringing them back.
Right, let's speak to Jordan, who is a Celtic fan in Airdrie. Jordan, what are you thinking tonight?
Oh, I think it's just unbelievable how Ian Atchell's back. He's done absolutely great last season. I think he'll be doing amazing again next season. I think he'll actually tear it up. So that's the situation. I think it's a great left back. So that's just probably one of the most important players last season, to be honest. So hopefully we get him in the door.
Yeah, I mean, Marcelo Cerracci was maybe starved of starts just because Celtic had Kieran Tierney in there, who maybe played more games than people thought he would. I think he ended up playing over 50 games, Kieran Tierney. Yes, you know, he didn't play 90 minutes in every single one of them, but he showed himself to be a very able deputy, made some real telling contributions, Marcelo Cerracci. If Celtic are able to get him for a fee, a decent fee on a permanent deal, probably no surprise that we'd want to go for him, because that sort of try before you buy thing can work very well. We've seen it with Celtic before. They did it with Cameron Carter-Vickers. They did it with Jota. So, you know, it might be the natural thing to then try and get him on a permanent deal.
Well, they know what the boy's all about. They know that he's been here for, you know, 12 months. He's settled into the city, the culture, etc. So he knows what the league's all about. Him and Tierney are obviously very, very different footballers. I think if you rewind Kieran's, you know, career, maybe six or seven years ago, he was that marauding fullback that we got up. But for me, I think his body's changed a wee bit. I think he would actually probably be better suited to playing left centre-back. He's good on the ball, he's strong physically, but the boy Cerracci is a different athlete. As I say, he gets up and down, never stops running, gets into the attacking third, and he delivers good service in the box. So totally different players, but two very valuable assets for Celtic.
Is the timing of the Ian Atchell one interesting for you, Jordan? Because there was a lot of talk towards the end of last season, and Martin O'Neill said it himself that he'd spoken to Kelechi Iheanacho. We'd had a lot of calls on this show of Celtic fans wanting him to start games, and he was just never really getting those starts. Martin O'Neill opened up about it. He said that Kelechi Iheanacho claimed he was fully fit. Martin O'Neill didn't feel he was fully fit. The fact that Celtic are already back in pre-season training, already have a bit of pre-season under their belt, were you hoping that if this deal was going to get done that he would maybe come in a bit earlier and he would join the start of pre-season, or does it not make too much of a difference for you?
Well, absolutely. If he's, as soon as he's in the door, you know what I mean, give him more time pre-season and he can get up to fitness. So I do think it's a lot better that he's in the door earlier. He can obviously get up to fitness then for the upcoming games and the start of the season. I do think that's a bit better for him getting in so early.
Yeah, Celtic still have just over 3 weeks to go until their first league game, but I wonder if, you know, that there is a bit of logic in maybe, and you know, there's complications we may not know behind the scenes. It may be a case of he was holding off or the club were looking at other options, but the fact that they're now, you know, Martin O'Neill has publicly said that they want Kelechi Iheanacho, I suppose the priority now is getting him in the door very quickly and trying getting him up to speed, because if Martin O'Neill's the one that said himself that he didn't feel he was at full fitness, and Celtic fans saw what he did in the sort of flashes of games that he played and, you know, contributed and scored goals, if they can get him up to that level of fitness, then he could be a real big contributor next season.
Well, there's no doubt about it. He's, you know, for not being fully 90-minute fit last year, he's certainly made a massive impact coming off the bench. It's just a strange one. You never know what's going on behind the scenes, you know, if the player's holding out for a longer term deal or more money, etc. There certainly was, you know, from both parties, they wanted to come together. It looks like they've got the deal done. But as you've mentioned, Andrew, it's very strange when Martin has said, you know, on numerous occasions that he wasn't a 90-minute fit, and yet the deal's been delayed, and then they're getting him in after, you know, a week, 10 days of pre-season. You know, it kind of puts him behind the kind of on the back foot a wee bit. So it'll be interesting to see if he starts the season for Celtic, but I'll be very, very surprised if they're not in the market for at least another number nine.
Do you like the look of Camilo Duran, Jordan? I don't think that one is official quite yet. He has been pictured over in Portugal in a Celtic training kit, training with the team. So you've got to think that will be imminent, that one's going to be announced. Is that the type of player you're looking forward to seeing in a Celtic shirt this season?
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to be fitting him pretty well. But then again, you just need to wait and see, innit? They all look good to start with. But it will be exciting to see. I do personally think he will. He's going to come in and just do his job, you know what I mean? Score goals.
Oh, he needs to do something because Rangers are hanging about.
That's my mate Calvin. He's my aim, unfortunately.
I like that. We've got a bit of a debate in the car between the two of them.
Only in Scotland.
He's completely disagreeing with what I'm saying, but we'll wait and find out, you know what I mean, as usual.
I suppose the real selling point with Camilo Duran, you know, he's coming from Karabag, the Azerbaijani league, hard to compare with Scotland exactly what that's going to look like, but his record in the Champions League will surely be what Celtic have looked at. He played 10 games in the Champions League last season, scored 5 goals, scored against the likes of Frankfurt, scored against Newcastle, Benfica, and I think Ajax were the other teams. So if you've got someone that at that level that has played 10 Champions League games, got 5 goals and scoring against high level opposition, that's the type of thing that will catch the eye, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, I watched some footage of the boy today, and it looks like the first year or so that he was at Karabag, he maybe played in the wider areas and he got himself a few assists, and it seems to be that his goal output, you know, jumped considerably as they've maybe placed him in the middle as a 9. He's left-footed, you know, attacking player. So whether he's coming in to play as that out-and-out 9 or going to play in the 11 positions, it will remain to be seen. But it could be that they're bringing him in because Maeda is possibly leaving the football club. So, as I say, time will tell.
Jordan, since you've got your pal there, ask him who he thinks Rangers' best signing so far in this window is.
It's got to be Shankland. Am I going to fall other than Braga and all?
Do you think it's possible?
Well, we're scoring goals for fun next season. Celtic's going to get the finger out, aren't they?
It's always like the sort of pre-season that as soon as, you know, signings always look great on paper at first, and then you never know what's going to happen. But that's kind of the beauty of football, isn't it? But some maybe come with less of a risk than others. You've got to think Lauren Shankland comes maybe as low a risk, really, when it comes to the fact that there wasn't a fee attached to it, has scored goals in the same league against the same teams, is working under the same manager. Yeah. As risk goes, it's got to be low on that scale.
You would think so. I think if they create enough chances, we know what Shankland's going to do. He's going to get himself, you know, 15, 20 goals. Hopefully he stays healthy for the Rangers fans' benefit. But as you say, that there's certain risks with international footballers. You don't know how they're going to settle, you know, Colombians, etc. The young boy Duran coming, but he's been at Karabag, played in the Champions League, etc. So probably aware of the climate, what he's coming to. But, you know, I think Rangers will be expecting a massive season out of Lawrence, and I think with his quality, we all know that if they create the opportunities for him, he's going to score.
Brilliant. Thank you to the boys. We'll let them continue the debate between themselves in the car. Let's speak to Stevie and Craig End. Stevie, what are you thinking?
How are you doing, guys? Obviously, I mean, I just came back the other week to see the World Cup, so it's a bit of a roller coaster, know what I mean? But amazing atmosphere, guys, obviously, know what I mean, when they change it. Boston, Miami was superb. But I just thought, obviously, watching the guys, they just looked, some of them looked really, really tired. So they did, you know what I mean? Lewis Ferguson, obviously, he was the best player we had in the Brazil game. He was absolutely going off his head. So he's with players, know what I mean? Because we were making the wrong decisions and things like that. So, to me, I mean, didn't want Steve Clark to go, guys, you know what I mean? But I just think, obviously, not me knowing I'm resigning, do you think it's going to save the UEFA Nations campaign? Because I know it's a bit of a farce that we need to play these kind of things to qualify for our home Euros, but the crowd's been doing before he came in, and then the crowd's going up when he did come in and brought success. Do you think it's going to have sort of like a reverse, I mean, like effect on like the... Obviously, I mean, the crowds attending what happened in future Scotland games.
I don't think it will have a massive impact on the crowds. It depends, obviously, who they bring in. I will say that, you know, if you look at when Stevie did resign, usually a telltale sign is when you see the players' reactions online, etc. Stories start to get out, you know, he was getting criticised tactically, etc. Nothing ever came out of Stevie's out of his camps. There was never any leaks for the players to their press, their press mates or whatever.
A lot of well wishes on social media from the top guys.
I think that shows in leaps and bounds that the players were behind Stevie. A lot of the fans would maybe turn and say, you know what, we didn't play the most attractive style of football, or it was defensive or not offensive enough. But the players liked what Stevie was doing, and I think there'll be a lot of them really, really sad to see him go.
Because regardless of what outsiders may have thought of Steve Clarke, there'll be so many people that will be so thankful for the job that Steve Clarke did over the last 6 or 7 years, getting Scotland to 3 major tournaments, or some people that maybe didn't like his style of play as much. But it'll be a huge act to follow for the players, because he has lifted the profile of so many of those players in the national team, given them so many caps, you know, helped them to experiences of getting to 3 major tournaments, that no matter who goes in there now, the bar has been been set now by Steve Clarke?
Well, I think the SFA will probably be looking at it now. They obviously didn't want Stevie to go because it came as a big shock to them as well. But the new manager coming in, obviously the bar's been set. It's qualification for the next major tournament. And then it's can you break through that kind of glass ceiling and get into the knockout stages of a tournament. And it's a lot easier said than done. You know, that World Cup group that we had, with the heat, I keep going on about the heat and the humidity over there, was a really, really tough ask. And as I said, we fell a wee bit short, but they're not the only group of players that hasn't fell short in the qualification process to get into knockout stages.
Have you got any ideas, Stevie, of who should come next, who might come next?
I think the favourite's Martinez. I mean, obviously, his wife's Scottish, his kids, I mean, they're all went back to Scotland, so I think it would be ideal. I did say, obviously, the thing there, let me know that my preferred one is Barry Ferguson, McGregor and McCann in charge of them, because they need somebody to cheer them up, guys, let me know. And they just, Ferguson done, again, I'll mention them again, when you're watching the game, you could see Lewis Ferguson, let me know, every time that they misplaced a pass, he was telling them, you know what I mean, you had a guy inside, or keep the ball and stuff like that, and they look frightened. And I know we're playing fifth and sixth in the world, you know what I mean, but why, again, watch the Brazil game, and I said, why did you invite the deadliest team in the world into your house, i.e. your 18-year books? You know what I mean, we're 2-0 down. The guy in front of me said to me, he went, oh, big man, I think you've been a bit harsh, I think we're doing all right. I went, mate, what planet are you on? We're 2-0 down, just went 3-0 down, go away with it, and we can't get out of our own box. What game are you watching? You know what I mean?
How did you view it, John? Because, you know, it was clear that Scotland were trying to play out from the back in that game. We shot ourselves in the foot a couple of times. The defending wasn't great in it. You're also playing against Brazil, so it's, you know, they've got players that will punish you. It's a tough mix to try and get right. Do you think Steve Clarke should have changed it earlier?
I think, Andrew, that in that climate, I played over there for 4 years and coached for another 6 or 7. I think that you have to keep the ball. There is no doubt about it. You kind of get involved in a box-to-box running gun type of game, basketball game. I think that if you're at that level, I can just imagine the level of detail that Clarkey and his staff went into pre-game. You know, you're leading into the game 3 or 4 days, and I guarantee you they weren't thinking that they were going to concede a couple of minutes into the game. And it kind of it throws everybody off, you know, because you're saying to yourself, it doesn't matter if you're going to play a passing game, a long ball game, you're still saying the message to the players as soon as they leave the dressing room is first 15 minutes, don't concede, keep it tight, build our way into the game, and then we concede like that. So it was probably a kind of gut punch to the group. But I actually thought after the goal, I think it was a water break at the time, and then we come back in, and I thought this is going to be a real, real test of character. I felt we actually settled into the game. But, you know, you give these teams with the world-class individuals that some of these teams have got, you give them an opportunity, they're going to punish you, and we get punished.
Stevie's suggestion of Roberto Martinez, it was one that was doing the rounds today. Scotland are obviously not going to be able to pay anywhere near what Portugal were paying him now that he's left Portugal. Do you think he has a realistic option? Do you think the fact that, you know, his partner's Scottish and he's got that experience of living in Scotland, could that play a part in it? Or do you think it's maybe not one that could happen?
Well, football's a funny game, because if you ask the Portuguese fans right now, would they like Roberto Martinez to move on, and they would probably say, yeah, we'd be like,
well, I think he
has
gone.
Moved
I think
on,
already,
yeah, but what I'm saying,
yeah, yeah.
If you ask them their opinion, they'd be saying, oh, you know what, Scotland, you know, you're welcome to him. So football, it's a funny game, because, you know, he managed a group of players that were at the top of the tree, elite level footballers, and they fell short. And people have criticised him for playing Ronaldo, not subbing him, keeping him on too long, etc. So it's fine margins at the top level, and there's no guarantee whether you sign a top level player, a top level coach, that it's going to back you up and get you success.
Thank you to Stevie. 01419511025 on the phones. It's the same number to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, your chance to take on John Spencer at Beat the Pundit. All you need to do is ring 0141 951 1025 during the next break, and it could be you playing next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
John Spencer here with me, Andrew McLean on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still got time to get your calls in. We're here until 7 o'clock, so whatever is on your mind. 0141 951 1025. We've been looking at the fact that Martin O'Neill wants to keep a hold of Kelechi Iheanacho and Marcelo Cerracci. He says he also wants to bring in another striker on top of Camilo Duran, and also looking at a goalkeeper as well to compete with Voyami Sinisalo. So Celtic fans, do you need a new number one? Is Voyami Sinisalo going to be the number one for the rest of the season? You can let us know. Rangers fans, a lot of speculation about different players in and out. A lot of central midfielders being linked. So who stands out for you in that regard? Is there anyone in particular that you'd like to see come in? Are there any players that you wouldn't mind losing if they go for a specific fee? I want to hear from you Motherwell fans, because maybe a bit of a surprise one. There had been a lot of talk about the likes of Elijah Just maybe leaving this summer, to Wanda Maswanisi, Elliot Watt maybe leaving this summer. But the Callum Ward shock you. That one kind of came out of nowhere today. A reported fee of around £800,000 to QPR. Is that good business? Would you rather he stayed? You can let us know. 0141 951 1025, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I've already had a message in from Gordon DL, who was your old pal during the World Cup. The two of you were sitting there together.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he's wanting to help you here or whether he's just wanting to point this out. He's saying, surely just give him one answer. Yeah, because he got a zero last time.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe his way of just getting me to vocalise the fact that you got a zero last time. He's wanting to wind you up.
Well, I'm actually disappointed because the producer told me that I was going to have the questions and the answers right in front of my desk. So.
Oh, no.
Is that
no.
why you dropped me from last Thursday's show? Because
no.
of my poor performance.
Oh, that's it. You got a zero, and yeah. then you got a one week ban
I got
from the show.
And then, be the first time.
Yeah, Donald Trump didn't get involved, so you didn't manage to get it overturned.
Know,
and you had to sit out for the week, unfortunately. Anyway, it's going to be, and by the way, you know who would hate this? Gordon DL, because on my screen it says you're playing against Logan and James.
So 2v1,
which is fine. We're more than happy to have people on, and they can have a helping hand. So how are you guys?
Well, thank you, Andrew. How are you?
We are all good, thank you. Are you feeling confident?
Very. Another donut inbound for John.
Oh,
I tell you what, Logan and James, are you both for the Gorbals?
No. I'm for Dumbarton, I don't know if that's worse.
Alright, I just came up on the screen there, said you're for the Gorbals. I'm a Gorbals boy, so I was hoping that you were going to go easy on me.
No, I'll get you in the pig and whistle for a fine after, but...
Right, have you played before, either of you?
No.
Right, first time. Are you in the car together? Where are you off to?
Travelling home for Reading. We were at a conference today, a railway conference, so travelling up the road. Just past Birmingham, so it'll be a long drive, depending on how this goes.
There we go. It's a good way to pass the time. Right, we'll put something else in the ear of John Spencer so he can't hear us. For you guys, I will nominate one of you just to be the spokesperson. You can obviously both speak, but just as long as one of you is giving the final answer. It'll be 30 seconds on the clock for you two, and you can pass as well if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yeah, I think.
Let's go for it. Who did Yusuf Chirmiti replace as Rangers number 9?
Essers.
How many Scottish sides has Ryan Christie played for?
Three.
Apart from Liverpool, name any English club Rafa Benitez has managed.
Newcastle.
In what decade did Tennent's begin sponsoring the Scottish Cup?
90s.
Austin McPhee is assistant head coach of which national team?
Portugal.
Name any Scottish Premiership manager born in the 90s.
David Gray.
Okay, we will bring John Spencer back in. Can you hear us, John?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock for John. Let's go. Who did Yusuf Chirmiti replace as Rangers number 9?
Oh, Dessers.
How many Scottish sides has Ryan Christie played for?
2.
Apart from Liverpool, name any English club Rafa Benitez has managed.
Newcastle.
In what decade did Tennent's begin sponsoring the Scottish Cup?
Oh, this Jammy Dodger Cup stuff again, I don't know.
Austin McPhee is assistant head coach of which national team?
Portugal.
Name any Scottish Premiership manager born in the 90s.
Oh, I don't know.
How do you think it went, guys?
90s?
Quietly confident.
I don't know. They were confident beforehand and they're still relatively confident. We'll go through them. Who did Yusuf Chirmiti replace as Rangers number 9? You all said Cyril Dessers, which is the correct answer. One all, so you can wipe that sweat off your brow, because you've got a point on the board already, John.
You're it's not no sweat, mate. It's just the light shining against my baldy head.
How many Scottish sides has Ryan Christie played for? You said two. The guy said three. Inverness.
He's went on loan. Oh,
Celtic and
him.
Aberdeen. Yeah, yeah. So it goes 2-1 to the guys. Apart from Liverpool, name any English club Rafa Benitez has managed. You had the choice of Chelsea, Newcastle and Everton. You both got it right. So it goes 3-2 to the guys. In what decade did Tennent's begin sponsoring the Scottish Cup? This one made me laugh as soon as I read it out, because you were in the office earlier on complaining about the fact that the last time you played, we named the sponsor of a competition and it completely threw you off. And then someone stitched you up big time by putting in a question about sponsorship of the Scottish Cup. But Tennent started sponsoring it in the 1980s. Neither of you got it. So it remains 3-2 to the guys. Austin McPhee is assistant head coach of which national team? You both said Portugal. You both got it correct. 4-3. To the guys, name any Scottish Premiership manager born in the 90s. The guys went for David Gray, who was not born in the 90s. He was born in the 80s, I'm assuming.
Craig
McLeish would have been a correct answer. Yeah. And Alfred Johansson, the new Motherwell manager, would have been an option as well. He was born in September 1990. Craig McLeish was March 1990. And that was that.
You need to change the format of this show.
Four,
I ain't
three.
Having this. I'm not coming on here to get battered every week. I'm going to start throwing punches.
4-3's all right. 4-3's not as bad as
I can't get
beat
every week. They need to change the format. When I come on, it needs to be changed.
That's it. Just one of the rules ripped up because you didn't win.
Yeah. I'm throwing my dummy ticket at the pram.
Boys, who do you support?
Rangers.
How are you feeling about the transfer window so far? Anything obvious that you feel needs to be addressed next by Derek McInnes?
I think a couple of wingers maybe. Centre back
definitely.
Lewis Ferguson would be nice as well.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, central midfielders. The wide areas is an interesting one that the guys bring up, because you look at, you know, Derek McInnes had, you know, Kizaridis last year. He did play Harry Milne off of a side who wasn't a natural winger. But if he's going to play a similar style, then you wonder if he's maybe going to need more wingers in the door. Finlay Curtis obviously impressed for Scotland at the end of the season, but for Kilmarnock in his loan spell. But then some other players that are at the club that, you know, maybe didn't set the header alight last season. JD Kasama had a good spell at the start of the season, didn't do enough laterally. Oliver Antman never really proved himself. Is that a key area you think that Derek McInnes will need
to
look
at? I think so, because if we just go off what Derek did at Hearts last year, I think he's probably going to go to a 4-4-2, I would imagine. And if you look at the setup of the team, you know, and you've got an overload in the central midfield, you know, area of the pitch. No kind of a natural wingers in there. Finlay Curtis, as you say, young boy, he's going to be a lot on his shoulders if Derek keeps him this year, and doesn't he, you know, put him out on loan. I don't know what the decision is there, but I would imagine there'll be a few central midfield players leaving, because if you go to that 4-4-2, then it's two central guys getting into six or seven players, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be too many to be hanging about. So I would imagine they'll move some on. Lewis Ferguson would be an unbelievable signing for Rangers, but financially, does it work for the club and does it work for the player? I'm not so sure if that's in the budget. But, you know, I'd imagine that Rangers, fingers crossed, would be at least making the phone call to see if there's the interest there from the player.
When it comes to the outgoings, there's been a lot of chat about Nico Raskin, you know, his potential price tag now that he's playing a big part for Belgium in the World Cup, has a quarter final tomorrow night against Spain. Is he someone you could see moving on, guys, or would you rather Rangers kept a hold of him and try to kind of build things around him?
I think the club's obviously struggled with the model probably for the last sort of 8 years and not got rid of players at the right time. So for me, I think it's probably time for him to go, but still got to get the right price. So I think probably time to cash in, but it has to be decent value. And obviously he's got a quarter final in the World Cup this weekend or something. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe it adds a wee bit on to the price tag.
Because that's just all about, that's what Scottish football is, and that's where we are in the pecking order. And a lot of people have, you know, criticised Rangers previously for not cashing in on players when they've been doing well. Alfredo Morelos is always brought up, Ryan Kent is always brought up, that both ended up leaving for free. Is this an opportunity that, if it arises, there is interest this summer, that it's probably the right time for Rangers to cash in? It's all about that player trading model, trying to get the maximum possible fee for Nico Raskin?
I think if you get the right money, as we've said before, he's had a good World Cup. I think he's come off the bench and he made an impact, and then he started and made an impact, had a hand in the, I think it was the first goal the other night. So his value, his transfer value is going to be massive, or it's going to have increased, that's for sure. And if you can throw, you know, if you can sell him and then throw that money towards Ferguson, then you've kind of done a trade, as you've mentioned, you know, traded one asset and brought in a really good asset that wants to be, no Scottish football, a Rangers supporter, be a tremendous signing. So that might be something that Rangers will look into doing.
Is that a swap that you would like to see happen, guys? Maybe not in terms of a direct swap club for club, but if Rangers could get a good fee for Nico Raskin, do you think money would need to be reinvested in a Lewis Ferguson? Is that the type of player you'd be wanting to come in?
Absolutely, a good captain, somebody that knows what it means to play for Rangers, which I think we've been missing for the last few years, to be honest with you. Raskin's a great player, but I think he'd probably be quite happy getting a move if it's the right sort of money and team for him as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly fits the mould of what Rangers are trying to do this summer. There's been that Scottish bias that Andrew Kavanagh talked about. Derek McInnes has been, you know, historically has always brought in players that, you know, have either played in the Scottish Premiership or, you know, are British, basically. So is that it's a natural type of move. You could see it happening, but it's just all going to come down to price tag.
It all comes down to money. You know, it comes down to what the budget is, you know, what their budget is. Are they willing? The great thing about it is if you could do even the swap deal with Raskin, I know we're talking buying this guy here and, you know, it's amazing, but if you do the swap deal, it's a match made in heaven on the Rangers side of things. I think that the two different types of players, I think Fergie's more of a box-to-box midfield player, although he played a wee bit deeper in the World Cup. I thought he was outstanding at times. But for me, I think if you look at the English lad they've signed for Sunderland, Dan Neil, he's a proper six. Somebody like a Barry Ferguson who can handle the ball, distribute the ball, control the tempo of the game. So I think, you know, if you're putting Lewis Ferguson in there alongside him, then you've got your holding midfield player and you've got the guy that's going to go box to box. It could be a very exciting, you know, midfield pairing for the tour.
Well, thank you to Logan and James. Hopefully that chat made the last 10 minutes of their journey pass a bit quicker anyway, right? 01419511025 on the phones. Keep your calls coming while I tell you this.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. Tomorrow, we are giving you the chance to boost your bank balance by £750,000. Imagine the celebrations this weekend if you won. Christina did just that on Friday, and now it could be you opening your bank account to £750,000 this weekend. Don't put it off any longer. Get in the draw for Make Me A Winner now for your shot at bringing home the cash. To enter, text YES to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and don't miss out. Lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And after that, if you get the call, just answer it. Simple as that. £750,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get involved. 01419511025. Let's go straight back to the phones. Ian is a Rangers fan who I was going to bring in next, and then as soon as I mentioned his name, he has now disappeared off my screen. So I'll get one of the producers to try and work that one out. I think he's phoning back in. One thing I did want to touch on is Callum Ward's move from Motherwell to QPR, one that kind of came out of the blue a little bit. Mentioned the fee of around £800,000. Do you feel that's a good fee that Motherwell have managed to get for him?
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant fee. To be honest with you, the Motherwell have pulled in a right, you know, few quid over the last couple of years, and there's probably another couple going as well. You mentioned Just, who probably go to Europe for a decent fee. I know Rangers and Celtic have kind of been rumoured to be sniffing about there, but as I say, he's a good goalkeeper. It's probably just the next natural progression for him to go and challenge himself at a higher level again. Two of my ex-clubs, Motherwell and QPR, so he's went from one good club to another one.
Because I reckon Alfred Johansson, you know, is wanting to play a similar-ish kind of style to Jens Bertolascu. He'll obviously have his own ideas, but it would involve having a goalkeeper who's very good with the ball at his feet. So that's going to be, you know, they're going to have to try and recruit for someone of a similar mould now, won't they?
I would imagine that if they're in the process of accepting a bid for the goalkeeper, then they're going to have someone lined up. I would be very surprised at this level of professionalism and in this day and age that they've not got an ideal replacement to come in that plays a certain style that the new manager wants to play.
Right, we've got Ian back, who is a Rangers fan, on the line. Ian, how are you?
Hi, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on again. How you all doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. What are you thinking this evening? What's on your mind?
It was actually about Lewis Ferguson. I mean, my point was basically people could have been saying that Lewis Ferguson could have got him for a fraction of, 17 million when he was at Aberdeen, and that's true, but the extra money isn't just for the player they passed on, it's for the player he's become. He's gone from, Serie A, captain Bologna, played Champions League and improved tactically and physically and mentally, and he's proved that he can perform at the top level. And you're paying for 4 years of development, and it's evidence that you can do it at the highest level. And another thing I wanted to point out was the fact that although Scotland were very poor at the World Cup, I thought that Lewis Ferguson was probably their best performer. So I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be too many people that would disagree with you there, and probably not playing in his natural position. I think when Billy Gilmore obviously pulled out with injury, they've had to adjust and put Lewis Ferguson back there. But as I say, in games, we were under pressure. He never stopped running. He was tackling. He was distributing the ball. But at times, as you say, probably him. And for me, I thought Jack Henry had a brilliant tournament as well. I like ball playing central defenders, but as you say, future Rangers captain possibly, future Scotland captain possibly, but it's all pie in the sky at the moment. Rangers, I would imagine, want him, but he's certainly a super young footballer, that's for sure.
There will always be those question marks about the fact that, you know, when he left Aberdeen for I think it was a fee that could rise to around £3 million to go to Bologna, that, you know, he was right under the noses of teams in the Scottish Premiership. Was that the time for Rangers to do the business? I know hindsight is 20/20, but if you're then looking at a fee of around £17 million, it's a big gap between those two price tags, isn't it?
It's a hell of a jump, and we spoke about it earlier. Andrew, Kieran Bowie is another one. You know, there's rumours today that Celtic are interested in bringing him back from Serie A, and they get relegated. But you're looking, you're saying, well, what were you thinking about? You know, if you go and pay a penny more than he went to Italy in the first place for, it's bad business. So, you know, it might be rumours, but as the caller's mentioned, Ian, he's turned around and said, you're paying for that development. He's went away, you know, from Aberdeen. If he does come back to Rangers, he's certainly going to come back a different footballer mentally, physically and tactically.
If it was a fee somewhere in the region of £17 million, Ian, whether that's possible or not, if Rangers were to stretch the boat out and, you know, push the boat out and pay that, would you be quite comfortable with that? Are you quite happy for them to pay that fee?
Well, you know, I don't know a bit much about the finances and how they manage the finances and stuff. And certainly if they did, it would become, you know, after Tore and De Flo, the most expensive transfer. But I think, was there not talks of maybe leaving? Was it Corin Barner or one of the other players that could have been involved in a swap deal? I'm not sure if that was, or was it the left back?
No, there was certainly chat about Conor Barron potentially being of interest to Bologna, and that might be kind of one of the levers that Rangers would need to pull to get a deal done. But I suppose if the fee is so big, and, you know, Ian's talking about that Tore Andre Flo deal,
yep,
it smashes that record. It's not as if it's just a little bit more, it absolutely smashes that record.
So but it becomes a big fee if it's a one payment, right? If it's 17 million up front. But if you get him, what is he, 26? 25, 26 yep, maybe? If you get him and, you know, you can spread the fee out of, you know, over 4 or 5, 6 year contract, then it becomes more manageable. But I don't know if the selling club are going to be up for that. But if you can throw a player in there as maybe, you know, like a Nico Raskin, you know, if it's a straight swap, then it's a win-win for everybody. But I'm not sure that, you know, that's what Bologna want to do.
It's then weighing up whether, you know, is he of more value to the team at that price point, or is it of more value to go out and maybe use that money to buy 3 or 4 players in different positions and strengthen, you know, spread that around the starting lineup and the squad rather than buy one player? But these will all be the things that Rangers need to weigh up.
Yeah, definitely. There's plenty of ways to look at it, but looking at the squad today, they're going to have to move some of these central midfield players. I think there's an overload in that area. And as you mentioned, if you're going to change the style of play from a three-man central midfield to playing a 4-4-2 with wingers flying up and down the pitch, then they're going to have to invest in some wide players, because the players that they've got at the moment haven't made an impact in the wide areas of the pitch as Rangers would have liked.
Well, thank you to Ian. What about George, who's a Rangers fan in Inverkip? George, when it comes to Lewis Ferguson, Nico Raskin, where do you lie on it all?
Well, I would take the two of them, to be honest, but I wouldn't let Raskin go for Lewis Ferguson. Not a hope in hell.
No.
Not a hope in hell. No chance. See, Raskin. Raskin's been crying out for a manager like Derek McInnes. So even Derek McInnes gets his horns on him, he's going to be some player for Rangers. Nico knows what it is, what it takes to play for Rangers. He's not had a decent manager that can... He's fought with the last two managers. He's not had a chance. Derek McInnes is the man for Nico Raskin.
Would some people maybe look at what the common denominator is there, though, George? If, you know, Nico Raskin, if he's had a problem with more than one manager, do you then need to look at the player? Is it just chance that it happens to...
Come on. Look at Danny Rowe. He was chopping and changing and all. He didn't know what his best team was. We just had people in the club that just didn't know how to run. Look at Nico Raskin under Barry Ferguson. Look at the way he played under Barry Ferguson. He was outstanding.
I suppose part of it will be the question marks over inconsistency in his performances, because he's shown when he's at his very best, he's, you know, a very, very good player. We've seen what he's done for Belgium at the World Cup. It's then what that maybe inconsistency of performance comes down to.
Think he's a natural number six. No. I think if you look at the Belgian team, they've got Tielemans in there, who is magnificent, wonderful footballer. And I think that if you look at Raskin, I think he's probably more of an eight, where you allow him that freedom to use his legs and get up and into the box and support. I think that we bringing Dan Neil in from Sunderland, maybe that frees Raskin up. Listen, we're all like hoping and, you know, talking and wee bit of riddles saying hopefully we get Ferguson or we get Raskin or whatever. But the thing is, we're not saying that Nico Raskin's not a good player. It comes down to styles of play, what type of players Derek wants to have in his team. Does Nico Raskin suit his style of play? It remains to be seen.
And I suppose different players kind of flourish in different environments, and maybe being in that Belgian team with, you know, a better level of player maybe helps raise his game, and that might be something that he's thinking about, that if he's playing with players at that level that are playing in the top five leagues, he might want to go and try his hand at that.
You've also got to think that if he's argued with the last two managers, where's his mindset at? Is he unhappy with what's going on behind the scenes? Does he feel the club should be further on, challenging for titles, which they've been a wee bit short over the last couple of years? So that might be the frustration, where he's arguing with the two managers, he's not happy with the style of play, etc. As we know, when Derek comes in, he's a Rangers man. He wants the club to be successful, and you know what, Raskin might be part of that, he might not be.
Well, thank you to George on the line. Thanks to John Spencer in the studio. But most importantly, thank you to you for listening in, watching on the live stream, getting involved on the phones and on social media. I'll be back tomorrow night from 6 until 7 in the studio with Hugh Keevans. And it's Callum Gallagher that's up next.